my. Well, are you ready for the word? All right, amen. Let's just bow our heads and pray a minute. Father, I thank you for this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for the word that you have given for this morning. And trust that you will anoint it, that it will go out and lift burdens, it'll break yokes, it'll destroy strongholds. It will inspire and edify and empower the people in this church, Lord, that their lives would be victorious. Lord, I offer myself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to you, that you would use me for your glory and for this message now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I know that some of what I might share might be something you're already familiar with, you already know, but how many times we learn by repetition, and we learn because the anointing delivers it in a fresh new way. So that's what I'm trusting this morning. But I have titled this message, The Formula for Winning. Now, how many people want to win? We all do. We all want to win. And so we're going to talk about Jehovah Nissi. You know, the word Jehovah, as I was studying, this was revealed to me, and I didn't really understand it before. The word Jehovah means the ever-revealing one. He is forever revealing himself. And there are 23 names attributed to God. And each one reveals an aspect of his nature or his character and the ability to meet every need we have. There is no need that you have that his character does not have the capacity to meet. And so we look to Jehovah, the ever-revealing one. Now, I looked at Moses. And we all know the story of Moses. When he was on the backside, he had run from Egypt. He had killed someone, and he went to Midian, and he was a fugitive there. And he ran into God's burning bush, the burning bush that did not burn up, but was God speaking to him. And from that burning bush, God told him to lead the Israelites out of Pharaoh's slavery. And Moses, he was timid. He was a murderer. He was a fugitive. He was insecure and said, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. I can't speak. I can't do that. And then he said, who am I going to tell him is sending me? Why would the Israelites listen to me? Why would they follow me? He said, who is sending me? What am I going to tell them? And I love this. God said to him, I am. I am who I am. You tell them the I am has sent you. You see, when we say I am, he says I am, that encompasses all forever. It's all the I am. There's no past or present or future. He is I am. And so we could say he is. He says, I am that I am. We say he is. Well, who is he right now here for you this morning? He is Elohim, Creator, mighty and strong, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is Adonai, the Lord. He is El Shaddai, God Almighty. He is Jireh, the Lord our provider. He is Adonai. He is Rapha, the Lord our healer. He is Shalom, the Lord our peace. He is Shema, the God who is there and here and everywhere. He is Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. But this morning, I want us to look at Jehovah Nissi, The Lord is our banner. He is our banner. I am who I am. I am the one who makes you win. I'm the one who makes you win. I am the triumphant one, and I cause you to always triumph. I am victorious, and I am your victory. That's what Jehovah Nissi means. And when you get a revelation of that, when that gets into your spirit, when you know that you know that you know that, all you can do is throw up your arms and worship him and thank him. You know, they have an ancient battle cry, the Hebrews did, when they went into battle. I don't know if you've ever heard it. It's Rock Kazak Amatz. And Kazak is that resoluteness that I'm going to stand my ground like a football player, and you're not going to move me. And the Amatz is that boldness that I'm doing it for your glory, God. And you run to the battle, and you don't even think that it could be impossible. You don't even think about the odds. And you cry, Rock Kazak Amatz. For God's glory, I fight this battle, and he wins it. And when that's in your knower, there is nothing that will come into your life that you would be afraid to run to battle with, because he is there. So let's look at this scripture where God revealed himself as the Lord our banner. And I took that from Exodus 17, verses 8 to 16. And I kind of like the God's Word translation. It's a good way of understanding what God is saying. So this is from God's Word translation. It says, the Amalekites fought Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and then fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill and I will hold in my hand the staff that God told me to take along. Joshua did as Moses told him, and he fought the Amalekites while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. And as long as Moses held up his hands, Israel would win. But as soon as he put his hands down, the Amalekites would start to win. And eventually, Moses' hands grew very heavy. So Aaron and Hur took a rock, and they put it under him, and he sat on it, and Aaron held up one hand, and Hur held up the other, and his hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua defeated the Amalekite army in battle. And the Lord said to Moses, write this. Write this reminder on a scroll. And he added this. He says, make sure that Joshua hears it too. And I will completely erase any memory of the Amalekites from the earth. So Moses built an altar, and he called it, the Lord is my banner. He said, because a hand was lifted against the Lord's throne, he will be at war against the Amalekites from one generation to the next. Now, I always read that, and I pictured a banner as those streamers that we dance with in front of the church or we hang our wall hangings, but that's not what this banner was. The banner was not a flag or a streamer or one of the Cleveland Indians pennants. It wasn't anything like that. They would take a pole. And of course, in Moses' case, he had the walking stick. He had the staff, the rod. And they would attach a shiny object, a piece of metal on the end of it with the name of their tribe or the name of the god for which they were fighting. And this banner was a reflection of their identity. It represented who they were fighting for. In Jamaica, the schools all have sports days. I know they have field days here, I think. We have sports days. It's a big, big deal every spring. And they divide their teams into what they call houses. And so the house designs a banner, and they march onto the field under their banner, and they plant it in the ground, and that becomes a spot where they can rally to, and they operate from. So they'll name these houses. They'll say, like, the Carey House or the McKay House, and it's prominent people in the neighborhood that support or sponsor them. Well, in the Bible, during an invasion or a battle, the banner would point out to the people the place of rendezvous or the rallying place. So you would look to that, and that would be your rallying place. Psalm 64 says, "Then you planted a flag to rally your people, an unfurled flag to look to for courage." You know, we here at the high schools rally at the pole, and they call the Christian youth to come and to rally at the pole. That's where this comes from. And so when you're on the battlefield, you look to that banner. You see it sparkling in the sun, and you see it there, and you look to that banner, and it gives you courage. It gives you a place to rally to. That's who we are. That's who we're fighting for. Now, the Israelites had just been led out of captivity. They had been for over 400 years bricklayers in bondage and slavery to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And they had experienced deliverance from that. They had seen the Red Sea part. They had food every day that they were in the wilderness. Their clothes and their shoes did not wear out. Can you imagine? The shoes grew with the children's feet, the same shoes. They never wore out. They had not had water. And they had just seen, right before this reference, Moses strike the rock, and the water came out of the rock and gave them living water, gave them water to live with. But now it was this new challenge. It was a new challenge at their most vulnerable point. They were murmuring and complaining, maybe it'd be better if we went back to Egypt. Egypt was better. See, they had a mental slave. They have slave mentality. They had just come out of 400 years, and they were thinking it'd be better to go back to that than what we have now. And they entered that valley of Rephidim, and that had been the home of the giants. This was the place that the Israelites would have been most fearful in. And here come the Amalekites. They're a trained, professional group fighting team. Now, in our lives, the Amalekites represent the flesh and the spiritual wickedness forces, the forces of spiritual wickedness. That's who the Amalekites are to us. Forces of spiritual wickedness that come against us, and it comes against all of us at different times. All of the time, we may be battling Amalekites. And sometimes when you think you're winning and you get set back, or sometimes you are the most vulnerable, and that's when those spiritual forces of wickedness come in and take advantage because they know that you're at a vulnerable point. And sometimes they just come out of nowhere to fight you. Now, Joshua was told to pick out some men and go down there and fight them. He had never done that before. This was the very first battle following their slavery, their time of slavery and the deliverance. This was the first real battle. And he must have been shaken in his boots. Now, we know later on when he was going to take the Israelite army, and God kept saying, don't fear, Joshua. Don't be discouraged. Be bold and courageous. Be bold and very courageous. But at this point, I mean, he must have been really shaking. And I bet he was hoping that he picked the right men. Because Moses just said, pick some of your men and go down there and fight. And he'd think, well, boy, I hope this guy is really going to live up to what we have to do. You know, he would have been shaking. And then what are we going to fight him with? We just came out of Egypt. You know, what are we going to fight these guys with? But he obeyed. He obeyed. And Moses went up to the hill, just like he said he was going to do. And he didn't go up there to sit and just observe and watch the battle like you would be in a box seat at an NFL game. That's not what he was doing. He went up to the top of the hill, but he went there to connect with God. He went there to connect with God. He was linking with Jehovah Nissi on behalf of all of the people that were caught up in the battle. And he entered into prayer and worship. You know, he would be that place that Joshua could look to when he was most afraid. And he would see that glinting object on the end of his pole and know and take courage. You see, that walking stick, that rod that Moses carried, was the sign of God's power and his presence. This was the stick that God had told Moses, throw it down. And when he threw it down, it turned to a snake. We all know that story. And then, I love this, God tells him, now pick it up by the tail. How many of you would pick a snake up by the tail? I mean, really? That's the last place you pick a snake up at. But God told him that. He says, throw your stick down. And it turns into a snake. He goes, now, pick it up by the tail. You know, but God, he doesn't do what's in the natural necessarily. He does what's in the supernatural. And he wanted Moses to know that. He did it, and it turned back into the rod. Now, God said, this rod is a sign I am. I am who I say I am. I am with you, and I am everything you need. And by that rod, I will do miracles. It's not about you. It's about me. The rod, the banner, is not about us. It's about him. It's who he is. He says, I want to show my glory to the people so they will know who I am. And so God performed, we know that, the 10 plagues against Pharaoh and against the Egyptians, and defeated all the gods of Egypt through that rod. It was a miracle-working rod. The working power of God anointed that stick to touch the waters of the Red Sea, and they parted. They let the Israelites pass and covered up the enemy. It was that stick that hit the rock, and the water that gave life to the Israelites came out. The rod was the symbol of the power and the presence of our risen Christ. It's our risen Christ. In Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 and 10, it says, then a shoot will come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from its roots will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And at that time, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people to gather around, and the nations will come to him. That banner, that rod, was the stump of Jesse, the root of Jesse. And we all know that Jesse was David's father. And Jesus came from the house of David. So the stump of Jesse that would come and bear fruit was Jesus himself. Jesus is the rod. The banner is Jesus. And in the midst of the battle, like Moses did, we lift up Jesus. Now, we know the story. I don't know. I would think that most of us do, in Numbers 21, about the serpents. You know, the Israelites moaned and groaned and complained and whined. And by doing that, they opened a door for fiery, burning snakes to come in and bite them. Now, we do that, you know. We moan and we whine and we complain and we grumble and we open the door for the enemy to come more in. I have some in-laws, and they talk about sickness all the time and moan and complain about every little sickness, and they get more and more sickness because they open the door to the fiery, burning snakes to come in and to bite them. So they were biting the people, and the people were dying. And God told Moses, take your rod, take that rod, and put a serpent on the end of it, put a snake on the end of it, a banner to lift up. And lift up that snake on the end of your rod and lift it up, and everybody who looks up at it will live. And those who continued murmuring in their circumstances with their eyes down on the biting snakes died. Look up in the midst of your challenges. Look up in the midst of your battles. Look up. You see, the rod was a type of Jesus, and I thought, why did they stick the very thing that was biting them? Why did they stick that on the end of the pole? I believe that Jesus wanted the people, as they looked up, to see that he was the banner. He was the victorious one. He defeated the serpent. It was lifted high, dead as a doorknob for them to look at. He had already defeated it. You see, the game's not over till you win. You win, but you have to look up. You can't keep your eyes down on the problem. You have to look at the defeated foe that Jesus has been victorious over. Moses was about 120 years old when this happened. I think about that. I can't imagine. I'm 68. I can't imagine climbing a mountaintop, number one. Second of all, I couldn't hold up that stick for longer than a half hour. Sometimes in praise and worship, my arms go numb, you know, when you hold them up too long. I certainly couldn't hold it up for the duration of the day from early morning to sunset. And his hands grew heavy, and his arms and his legs grew weary. And when he faltered holding up that rod, when he failed to keep Jesus above the battle, above the problem, he began to lose. He needed Aaron and Hur. Now, I think about this. Their sole purpose for being there was to support Moses, to encourage him, to pray for him, to hold up his arms. I think about Pastor Ron and Pastor Chris and their leadership of the church. Some of you, your sole purpose is to speak life into them, to hold up their arms, to serve them, to help them keep the eyes of the church on Jesus as the victorious one. And if they had not been there, Moses would have dropped. He would have dropped, and the battle would have been lost, and everybody would have lost. Sometimes we need to hear others say to us, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. Jesus is with you. God's got this. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. He's not going to leave you broken down. He's going to bring you out. He has been made perfect in your weakness. You can do this because of Christ. He will never leave you or forsake you. And you lift up the name of Jesus for others in this church and out of this church We lift them up for others. And we have to know the authority that has been given to us through Jesus and use it for each other. And then watch every demon in hell flee from your presence and the presence of the people. Get connected to people who are going to hold you up when the stuff gets heavy. And be that for somebody else when you've got it and they've got the heaviness. Now, I thought about this. Why would God instruct Moses to make sure that Joshua saw the record? He specifically said that. Write this down on a scroll, but you make sure that Joshua sees this too. And I thought, you know, I could just imagine Joshua and these guys that he picked out, and they won this battle, and they're dancing and celebrating, and we did it! Whoa, we did it! We won, we did it! Can you believe that? Can you believe this fighting army, this forces of spiritual weakness? We beat them! And God wanted him to know that's deceptive pride. He had to learn that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's victory. Prayer on the hilltop was the real battlefield that was doing the fighting. Now, yes, it took Joshua and the soldiers doing their best and giving their all, but the winning or the losing had nothing to do with the fight in the Valley of Rephidim. It had everything to do with Moses' arms. That's where the battle was won. Maybe your Amalek won't go away because you think what you're doing will determine the outcome. What you're doing is important, but it is insufficient. The victory came from the worship and the prayer, and it wins time and time again. You give your best in the valley and hold up the banner Jesus on the hilltop. You know, this past week we had an example or an illustration of this. In Montego Bay, Jamaica does not have a lot of LGBTQ, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transsexual, queers, whatever, activists. They have held that off. And the activists wanted to have a week-long forum in support of same-sex marriages in the cultural center in the middle of Sam Sharp Square in Montego Bay. And the mayor of Montego Bay said no. And they took it to the courts. And a judge last Monday said, yes, you must allow them to use the cultural center. And the churches began to pray. And our church in particular has something called Prayer Covenant Connectors. We have a WhatsApp group that encompasses almost all of the church. And it is for nothing more or less than to pray the word and pray from a platform of faith targeting the battles, whether they're in people's lives, whether they're in the town, whether they're in the nation. And you get inspired by other people's prayers and then add your own. And so they began to pray. And the day before we came, we got a notice that the mayor had decided to appeal that decision to the Supreme Court of Jamaica. And the Supreme Court delivered its answer that said the cultural center is too sacred a place to hold such an event. You see, righteousness exalts a nation. And it's going to take us, standing up for righteousness and holding up each other's arms in the battle. And the battle for this nation is going to be won in our prayer rooms, holding each other's arms up as Moses held his arms up. It is Rock Kazak Amatz for the glory of God. Now, a few years back, this is another illustration, I was at a really low point. And like the Israelites, it was a valley of Rephidim. I was under the circumstances. I didn't have any joy. I was ready to give up. I was ready to come home, forget everything. And I needed that touch of his presence. I needed that supernatural that comes from the Lord our banner to invade my natural. My hands needed to be held high in prayer and worship, surrendering to the one who really fights our battles. So we had these visitors come to the church. I don't know if you've ever heard of Delia Knox and Bishop Levy Knox. Delia Knox was actually a Christian singer, but when she was in her early 20s, she was in a car accident, and it paralyzed her from the waist down. And she was in a wheelchair for over 25 years. Now, this couple were on our board at our church in Montego Bay, and we built ramps in the church so that she could wheel on the ramps. She would sing and worship the Lord from her wheelchair and twirl, and you would think, whoa, she's going to go off the stage. But she was convinced that God was going to heal her someday. And so a few years back, she went to a Bay of, it was in Mobile, Alabama, and she went to a Holy Spirit conference. She said if she knew they were praying for healing, she wouldn't have gone because she was kind of tired of everybody thinking that she should get up out of the wheelchair. And she was there, and they began to pray, and she began to feel sensing in her legs. She said to her husband, I feel your hand on my leg. And she was healed at that conference. And she came up out of that wheelchair. And she came to our church that Sunday morning, and we all knew this was the first time we were going to see her walk. And she came in the door of the church, and she had on 6-inch spike heels. And when she ministered, we have 3 levels, and she would run up to the second level and then the top level, and she said, I have always dreamed of being able to do that. And she did that. But what she did that night, she was ministering, and there was a man in a wheelchair behind me. And she beelined, she was moving under the anointing to go to that wheelchair. And as she passed me, she reached out her hand and kind of smacked me in the head. God does that sometimes, you know, you need that sometimes, a smack from the Holy Ghost. And the power of God hit me, and I went down on the floor, and I was rolling and laughing. Now, I'm usually a very dignified person. I would not want to be found acting like a fool in front of our entire church, but I was. I was rolling around laughing and laughing and laughing on the floor. I just could not help myself. Jehovah Nissi had come into my valley, and he brought the victory. The victory is from Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. Jesus, Jesus. So the Spirit of God said to me, now, Mary, the world didn't give this joy to you. I did. Don't let the world take it away. Don't let any battle in the valley deny the joy and the victory that comes from the presence of God on the hill. We need both. We need to look up. We need to look to the Lord your banner. He is over us. He is over you. There's a song that we sing that God, and it's from the Psalms, God sings songs of deliverance over you. He is the banner of victory over you. He covers you with a blanket of love and protection and victory. And we just need to worship him and pray and connect to that presence so the supernatural can invade the natural and bring you the victory. The battle is the Lord's. And the victory can be won by holding up the name that is above every other name. It's above any sickness the doctor tells you you have. It's above any poverty that you are trying to fight your way out of. It's above any financial loss that you have. It's above any lost children or grandchildren that you have or spouse. It is above defeat. It is above despair. It is above any problem that you have. And everything must bow to the name of Jesus. That's why it can be a banner of victory over us, because everything, every knee, every tongue, everything is going to bow to that name. And so we today, because we have Jesus in us, because we have the authority that he has delegated to us, we can say, cancer, bow to the name of Jesus. Leave in Jesus' name. We can say that the worship that brings the supernatural presence into our situations. And always remember, we need one another. We're no lone rangers. We can't be lone rangers. We cannot do it alone. Moses knew that. That's why he took Aaron and Hur with him. Don't be hesitant to cry out for your Aaron and your Hur. And don't be hesitant to be that Aaron or that Hur to someone else crying out. So what's our formula? Our formula for winning, number one, you lift up the name of Jesus above the problem, above the battlefield. You look up and you lift Jesus high. He says, lift Jesus high and I will draw all men to me. When we lift him high and he becomes our victory and we walk in victory, we walk in that victory, the world will look and the world is going to grow darker. I have bad news for you. The closer we get to Jesus' return, we're going to have the glorious bride and a dark world. And they're going to look and say, what? What do you have? What is different about you? That you can walk in peace and love and victory, joy. What is different? Because the Lord is our banner. The Lord is our banner. Number two, get others to lift your hands in prayer. And number three, Moses built an altar. We need to build an altar in our hearts. Build an altar and check your heart. When you're in those times that are so hard, you build the altar in your heart and you check your heart and you say, Lord, check me out. You know, the word says, search my heart. Point out any wicked way in me. Search my heart. Is there anything that I'm doing that could hinder my winning? We know that he wins. But sometimes we may have something or be doing something that might hinder his winning. So we build that altar in our heart and we check it and we say, point it out to me. And if he shows you something, if he shows you something, that all you need to do is say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for that. I'll get that right. I'll make that right. And when you check your heart and he doesn't show you anything, you can have that confidence that you will win. That victory is yours, that what you're believing him for, what you're asking him for, will be done. It may take a while. I just heard a testimony of Oral Roberts, and Oral Roberts University was in a lot of debt for over 25 years. And Oral Roberts just kept declaring and saying, God, this is your battle. I know you're going to give a gift and bring us out of debt. You're going to provide a gift and bring us out of debt. When he was 91 years old, someone gave a $70 million U.S. dollar donation to ORU and brought them out of debt. You see, if we keep lifting up the name of Jesus, we lift him up above the problem. You may need an Aaron Hur to hold you up for 91 years, but it will happen. The victory is ours. The victory is ours. So I'm going to ask you to stand up, and I am going to have us do a confession of victory, a profession. You see, we eat the fruit of our lips. God says we eat the fruit of our lips. If you murmur and you complain or you grumble and you talk about the problem, you're going to eat that fruit. But if you hold up the name of Jesus and you profess and proclaim who he says you are and what he says you'll have and do what he says you'll do, then you'll eat that fruit. And that's the fruit I want to eat. And I know you all want to eat that too. So let's do this. Let's hold up our hands. If you get heavy, grab the person next to you. And let's just say after me, Father, your banner over me is victory. I am victorious in Jesus. Victory is my portion. Victory is who I am. I am destined for victory. I am a winner. I am destined to overcome everything. Because Jesus lives in me. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is alive in me. And every attack from the enemy must bow now in Jesus' name. All right, now let me pray for everybody, and then I'll hand it over to Pastor Ron. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for your ever-revealing one. We thank you, Lord, that your name and your nature covers every need that we have. Lord, you know the needs that are in this room today. And as we declared victory in our Jehovah Nissi, that you are the banner over us, that as they leave today, they'll walk in that confidence. They'll be able to shout, Rock Kazak Amatz, for the glory of God, this victory will be won. And we surrender it to you, Lord, and thank you that you are already working on our behalf. You're already working behind the scenes. You're already bringing the answers. You're already doing it. And all that we will be able to do is to raise our hands in worship and worship the God Almighty, Jehovah, Jehovah Adonai, Jehovah El Shaddai, Jehovah Elohim. We worship you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.